Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Second Timothy, the third chapter, in verse 1, it says, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers." Now watch this. "Disobedient to parents." Disobedience to parents. "Unthankful." "Unholy." "Unloving." "Unforgiving." "Slanders," without self-control. Can't stop talking bad about people. Out of control. "Brutal." "Despisers of good." "Traitors." They'll turn on you, betray you, after they've been your friend for a while. "Headstrong." "Haughty." Well, it's full of pride. Full of pride. "Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power." Isn't that interesting? Having a form of godliness. These folks, as miserable and as wretched as they are, unthankful, unloving, slanderers, traitors, headstrong, haughty, all these wicked things, and yet they have a form of godliness. They're not godly at all. But they got a form of godliness. They've got an outward appearance of godliness. In other words, they have some religion in their life. They're religious. So they look like decent folks. And maybe in the natural, in some ways, they are decent. But yet, spiritually, they're wretched. And it says, this is the group of people that is going to make the last days a very tough time to live in. He says, perilous times. These are going to be hard times. Some people know you and I are in the last days right now. So these are the kind of things that are going on right now. And as we get closer and closer to the end of the end times, things are going to increasingly get worse and worse and worse in the negative. But then we also talked about there's a positive side to the end times, and that is the glory of God arising upon God's people. And the darker it gets out there, there are those that don't just have a form of godliness, but they got God and they are growing in godliness. And godliness is something we grow in. We are a work in process. The Bible says that we're to be nourished in the word and we're to exercise ourselves to godliness. How do you exercise yourself to godliness? By resisting ungodliness. So ungodliness doesn't have to be our enemy. Ungodliness could be our best workout. Because he says, exercise yourself to godliness. How do you do that? Resisting ungodliness. What time are we living in? We're living in the last days when ungodliness is going to be at its worst. Which means what? Those that are pursuing a godly life have a lot of weights, have a lot of equipment. A lot of equipment to be able to use to grow really big and really strong spiritually. Are you understanding me? Hasta la vista, baby. Now, we can grow super strong in these times by exercising ourselves in godliness. Exercising ourselves to godliness. Resisting all these things, this unloving, lovers of money. We're going to resist that. We're not going to love money. You got to have an attitude. Money follows me. I don't pursue money. Amen. I'm pursuing the Lord. The Lord provides for me. Money cometh. I need to say it right now. Say, money cometh. Yeah, we don't go running after money. We're not pursuing and chasing after material things. God provides for us. He takes care of us. And we're not lovers of pleasure. We're not just looking to please and gratify our flesh, but we're looking to please God. And in seeking to please Him and delighting in Him, He gives us the desires of our heart. He gives us all things freely, richly to enjoy. Isn't that what the Bible tells us? Amen. So we're going to resist covetousness and being boasters and proud. We're going to continuously seek to humble ourselves. We're going to be thankful. That is such an important part. So important to be a thankful people, appreciative. Because you don't get any more than you're thankful for. And if you're really good at Thanksgiving, you'll be really bad at slandering. You'll have a tough time being an ugly person if you're a thankful person. So if you want to get rid of slander out of your life and you don't want to slip into that mess anymore and be a griper and a complainer, then just start training, reprogram yourself and train yourself to be a thankful person. And there is no thankfulness apart from you opening your mouth and expressing thanksgiving. You got to give it. Thanksgiving has to be given. So we got to express thanksgiving. And we are a people that are extremely blessed. And we have so much to be thankful for. Yes, there are trials. Yes, there are tests in life. We all go through stuff. But oh my, we have so much to be thankful for. So much to praise God over. Let our mouths be filled with His praises continuously. All day long, giving Him thanks. Giving Him thanks. Giving Him thanks. Amen. Because there's so much to be thankful for. And we need to be thankful for the people that God has brought into our life. We need to be thankful to our parents. Notice a part of this end time group of people that are going to cause the earth to be stressed out. It says they are disobedient to parents. They're rebellious. They don't honor, they don't respect their parents. And today, of course, is Father's Day. And so there is a great disrespect towards fathers in our society, in our world today. And the media is promoting it. They're promoting it in commercials. They're promoting it in every area, in movies, in whatever, through the entertainment industry. There is a tremendous disrespect, disregard for the father in the home. And notice over here in Malachi chapter 4, we are living in some amazing times. Amazing times. We don't have to fear. We don't have to worry. These can be a great time for you and I. A great time to prove our love for the Lord. A great time to grow spiritually and walk in greater glory than the church has ever walked in before. Greater glory than even the earlier church walked in. And they walked in some amazing glory, didn't they? Well, we can walk in even greater glory. Because the Bible says where sin abounds. And sin is abounding in the earth. Sin is intensifying in the earth. Where sin abounds in the earth, where sin abounds, grace does abound much more. So the more sin comes in, the more grace God makes available to us. The more God's grace becomes easier to access. And the grace of God is the glory of God freely bestowed upon you and I. And the glory of God is the manifested awesomeness of the Almighty. So God has freely bestowed upon you and I Himself, all that He is, all that He has. He has freely given that to us through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But where sin abounds, it doesn't take a whole lot of faith to access more grace, more of the glory of God. It's easier to step into it. It's easier to step into this awesomeness of the Almighty when times get tougher. God just does it that way to level the playing field. Come on. The devil doesn't have any advantage over us. I don't care how wicked the world gets. The world, the devil, they will never have any advantage over you and I, because God will just measure more of his grace to us, making it more easy for us to walk in his glory. That's why those that stick with God in these last days and pursue godliness, they're going to be strong spiritually, and they're going to carry some weighty glory. They're going to carry some awesome things. Come on. That's you and I. Amen. That's what's happening to us right now. This is going on right now. His glory is increasing on us right now. So put your faith in it. Believe God for it. And regardless of what kind of life that you've had growing up and things like that, you got to understand, you have not been robbed. Because through God, anything that was stolen, God has more than replaced. All you got to do is reach out by faith, step into it. Step into it. So there'll be no want and no lack in your life. Didn't he say, he said, if the Lord's your shepherd, he said, if everything goes really good for you and everybody treats you right and yang, 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 then you have no want and you have no lack. That's what he said. He said, if the Lord is your shepherd, if the Lord is your shepherd, you shall not be in want for anything. Not walking around in want, not walking around on empty. But see, folks are going to have to stop talking about all the negative things in their life and how they were treated by this one and that one and how I didn't have this and I was neglected. And you're going to have to stop talking about that. And you're going to have to start talking about what God has done for you through Jesus Christ and what he's made available to you. You're going to have to start magnifying the grace of God and stop magnifying the mess. And as you magnify the grace of God will wipe out the mess more than replace what was lacking in your past. Amen. The grace of God will more than replace what was lacking in your past. Amen? So why keep talking about it? Why not just talk about the grace? Because in talking about it, we're accessing it. We're stirring our faith up to walk in it. Hallelujah. Thank God for the grace of God. So these are exciting times for you and I. We're gonna walk in tremendous, tremendous glory. But notice Malachi chapter 4. Let's go down here to verse 5. Let's go back to verse 1. Verse 1. Behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven. And all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly will be stubble. Times are getting hot. Day is coming, man, burning like an oven. And all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly will be stubble. And the day which is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts. In other words, if you're living for wickedness, the curses and the things that are coming upon the earth in these last days will just wipe you out. It'll just consume you. The cares of life, the worries of life, the problems of life will consume people, consume the ungodly, says the Lord of hosts, that will leave them neither root nor branch. Verse 2. But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. And you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. You shall tread. I don't know. I became real southern there. When I heard fat, I just kind of saw all the fried chicken and all the lard that's used in the South. And my whole thing changed. You shall, look at this, he says, you shall trample the wicked. They shall be ashes under the soles of your feet. Now, are there any wicked in heaven? Are there any wicked in heaven? No, we know there's no wicked in heaven. The wicked are here on the earth, aren't they? That's where the wicked are. So he says, man, he said, the day is coming, burning like an oven. Those that are living in ungodliness, they're going to be stubble. I mean, nothing's going to be left, neither root nor branch. But to you who fear my name, I'm going to pull you out of here and bring you to heaven, and you don't have to worry about anything. Is that what he said? No. He said, you shall trample the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet. On the day that I do this, says the Lord of hosts. So we're going to be right here in the middle of it. Trampling. Trampling on all the works of the devil. Trampling over all the works of the devil. And God is, says right here, he's going to make a distinction between his people and the ungodly. Those that are living for him, living by him, and those that are not. God is going, that distinction is going to become ever clearer in these last days. And that's what we were talking about last time. The hot is going to get really hot. The cold is going to get really cold. And there's going to be no place for lukewarm as things are wrapping up in the last days. The lukewarm will be removed. There'll be no pretending anymore. There'll be no hiding anymore. The wicked are going to get really wicked, and it's going to be obvious. And you're going to, when you vote, it's going to be clear. When you vote, you're going to vote either for wickedness or you're going to vote for godliness. And there'll be no confusion about it. Nothing lukewarm, nothing shady about it. So it makes it very easy to choose sides in these last days. The lines will not be blurred. Everything will be nice and clear. Nice and clear. And that's a good thing. I said that's a good thing. Because that lukewarm stuff, man, that's deception. That's just deception. So many people are just caught up in deception. But thank God there's going to be a distinction. And the godly are going to be super godly. They're going to look godly. They're going to smell godly. I mean, they're going to be godly. And they're going to be clothed with God. And the ungodly are going to be ungodly. Ungodly to the core. Ungodly in every way. But he says they're going to be burned up and consumed by the things that are coming. But you who fear my name, you're going to get fat. You're going to be well taken care of. You're going to be like a well-watered garden in the middle of a desert. Right in the middle of a desert. God's going to have an oasis. And it's his church. It's his people. And we're just satisfied. We're just overflowing with love and with life in this unlovely, drying up and dying world. That sounds exciting to me. I mean, that's not life as usual. This is why folks rent movies. It's to escape life as usual. People want a little action. Friends, stop going to the movie theater to get your action and start investing in the Word of God. Start investing in the church. Start investing in your spiritual condition. Because, friend, it's going to get action-packed for you and I. Not life as usual. You get uptight about that, you know, lukewarm. We like things to be a certain way, and we don't want anything disruptive, and, you know, and anything out of order, and we like routines and ruts, and we like that. That makes us feel secure. Well, no, our security is in him. Amen. Our security is in him, and we could be like the wind. With folks not knowing where we're coming from and where we're going, so is he who is born of the Spirit. We're just moving with God. We could just flow with him and change things up real quick and just go and just live an exciting life. Amen. Hallelujah. And you will be famous. You will be famous. Now, that doesn't mean everybody's going to like you and applaud you, but you will be known in the community. You'll be known as one of those. But for anybody that has any kind of faith in them towards God, they'll be able to look and see the oasis. It'll be obvious. It'll be clear. And they'll know where to go if they want real, true, living water and not just a form of godliness. If they really want to come and drink, they're going to know exactly where the water is. It's going to become very evident. Hallelujah. Did he say he's going to take care of us in these times? Is he able to provide a meal for us in the desert? Is he able to cause us to sit down and dine with him in the middle of a desert, in the middle of famine? Come on, can he do that? Can he cause us to be celebrating and enjoying life in the middle of misery all around us? Yes, he's God. He's done it before. Look at the children of Israel in Egypt. If they just stopped griping and complaining, they had his glory out there in that wilderness. He split Red Seas, split the Red Sea for them. He fed them with manna from heaven. He provided for them miraculously. Glory to God. And what's coming in these last days is going to make what Moses walked in look like nothing. Things are climaxing. Things are peaking. The best is going to be at its best. And the worst is going to be at its worst. That's the time you and I are living in. And I don't know, that's exciting to me. Faith gets excited about it because it's trusting God. It's not trusting in itself. It's not trusting in its savings and its job and its job security and all these things. No, it's not trusting those things. Whatever happens to those things happens. We're gonna do whatever we know to do in the natural, but we're ready to move with God. We're trusting in him. He is our ultimate provider. Hallelujah. And what about all these plagues that the book of Revelation talks about? All these plagues breaking out in the last days and sicknesses and diseases. You don't have to worry, because the Son of Righteousness, verse 2, shall arise with healing in his wings. Hallelujah. His wings are full of healing. And where's he going to arise? Arise on you and I. Arise on you and I. Isaiah 60, arise and shine, your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has what? Arisen upon you. So all your provision, all your healing is in that glory that's rising up on you. Then he says in verse 4, remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel with the statutes and judgments. So he's saying now, remember the commandments. Remember the commandments that God has given to you. That's a big part of making it through in these last days. It's interesting in these last days how in our nation, how they've removed the commandments from schools. They've removed it from courthouses. Isn't that interesting? They want to get rid of the commandments. And meanwhile, here in Malachi 4, he's talking about the last days. It's coming. It's burning like an oven. He says, but for you and I, things are going to be great. He said, but remember the commandments. Big reason why things are going to be burning up for the wicked. The reason why the wicked are going to be burning up is because of a disregard of God's commandments. And there's a lot of that even in the church today. We're not under the law. We don't need the law. They don't even want to talk about the commandments anymore. That's the law. That's legalism. No, it's the Bible. It's the word of God. When Jesus came, he didn't take away the commandments. I got news for you. He did something even better. He wrote it on your heart. He took it off tablets of stone and he went ahead and said, you know what? You're right. I'm going to get rid of the tablets of stone. I'm going to engrave it on your heart. So it's on the heart of every new creation. So let's remember it. Let's remember it. Verse 5. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. So notice this, a part of the last days. God says he's going to send Elijah. Now you remember Elijah the prophet, he never saw death. He went up physically in a whirlwind. God took him into heaven so that he never saw death. And so God says he's going to be using Elijah in the last days. Now, we also saw that Jesus, when he was here, he had said that John the Baptist was Elijah to come. In other words, Elijah was with John the Baptist. And what was John the Baptist's ministry all about? Repentance. It's all about repentance. And of course, you go back to the ministry of Elijah. He was constantly calling the nation of Israel and the king of Israel constantly calling them to repentance. So when we're talking about Elijah coming in the last day to hold back curses by turning hearts. What does it mean to repent? It means to turn. To turn. It's not just to say I'm sorry, but it's to see the wrong and then turn from it and turn to the right. There's a turning with the heart. That's what repentance is. So here he talks about Elijah, the ministry of Elijah, being a part of the last days to hold back curses from coming. And that is a ministry of repentance. Repentance is a big part to you and I living free from all the curses and all the troubles of the last days. Repentance, being quick to see your sin, to see your mistakes and to correct them. To not continue on a path that is immoral and not right. Whenever there's something in your life that's not right, we need the Holy Spirit to convict us, to show us that we're missing it. We need that. You know, conviction is a blessing. Correction is a blessing. Bible says in the book of Job, happy is the man whom God corrects. Man, you need to covet God's correction. You need to covet his correction. You need to want God to correct you. You need to pray, Holy Spirit, correct me. Show me where I'm missing it. Because, you know, we can grow so dull, so insensitive to our heart by living a carnal life that we get to a place where we don't even know that we're missing it, that we don't even know where we're sinning, where what we're doing is not right. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. Keep shining the light on my heart. Correct me. Convict me. Help me to see where I'm missing it. Help me to see where I'm wrong and out of place, out of order. Help me. I want to see it. And then when you see it, what do? Turn. Repent. Change it. Change it. Thank God we could change it by the grace of God. You can't change it on your own. With all the best intentions you can muster up, you can't change it on your own. You need the Holy Spirit to help you. Thank God you got him. You got the helper. You got help. You got supernatural help to not keep going in a way that is not right. Bible says there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is death. It leads to death. It leads to destruction. It leads to the curse. Thank God. Holy Spirit can convict us. We can see it and we can adjust. We can turn. We can change the direction that we're going. We can get those things that we know are wrong right. I don't care how little it seems to you and insignificant. Get it right. Let there be nothing wrong. Let there be nothing out of order, out of place. Come on. That's going to help us access this greater glory. That's what's going to help us to walk in this end time power of God. To be able to walk free of the curses. That's having a strong foundation of repentance. A strong foundation of repentance will keep us from all the curses that are coming in these last days. Amen. Thank God there's hope for you and I. So, but notice here, he says, verse 6, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers. Again, like I was saying before, there is a disregard of fathers in our land. There is a dumbing down of dads that's going on in our world today, in our society, through the entertainment industry and just through every area of life. There are like demons that have been released upon the earth that are working to dumb down dads, to make dads incompetent, unfaithful, to cause them to be childish and foolish, immature and childish, and you see it everywhere. I mean, you see it everywhere. Commercials, you can't watch a football game or whatever kind of game and have a commercial that come on where you have an intelligent father figure in the house. Every dad is a dummy. He goofy, he stupid. Right? Because that's what's going on in our society today. The children need to not despise their fathers. Regardless of your dad or how your dad lived his life, or you didn't have a dad, you grew up in a fatherless home, whatever the situation might be, you can't change another person's heart, but you can allow your heart to turn towards the love of God. Turn towards the love of God and be forgiving, be loving, and be thankful for the good things. Be thankful for the positive things. Come on. I mean, listen, folks, they've been raised in a good home, got good parents, raised in the church, and they're still unthankful. They're disobedient, disrespectful, dishonorable, all these things. And they need to turn. They need to turn their hearts. They need to get that right. This is a part of living like a stall-fed calf in these last days. Living in victory in these last days. Living free of the curse. You can't allow dishonor, disrespect to be in your heart. You can't allow these things in your heart. Faith is honorable because God is honorable. The spirit of faith is an honorable spirit. You can't be operating in faith and be operating in dishonor. You can't be being disrespectful and dishonorable and despising while at the same time walking in the love of God, walking in the faith of God. You can't do it. A lot of folks have a strange idea about spirituality, you know? They can despise, they can dishonor, they can slander, and yet somehow they're over here and God led me. God told me to do this. And they think that they're being spiritual and they're living by faith. The two don't go together. I said the two don't go together. So we need to turn our hearts. If there's been any kind of dishonor, disrespect towards parents, well, I don't like the way they treated me, too bad. Rise up and get that right in your heart. Be forgiving. Be loving. Amen. You know what's crazy about it too is when you harbor unforgiveness against somebody in your heart, you will end up repeating the very sins that they've committed towards you. You'll end up repeating it. Because if you harbor it in your heart, it will grow like a seed and produce the fruit of that seed in your life. So you want to be forgiving. You want to have things right in your heart. Be thankful for the good things that happen. Don't harbor unforgiveness, bitterness in your heart against anybody, especially a father figure in your life, because he represents God to you. Because God is our Heavenly Father. He's the one that has ordained natural fathers. So we need to honor them. And then fathers need to do their part, be responsible. They need to get things right, and they need to imitate their Heavenly Father and share the love of God with their children. So, but also, not only in the natural are there families, there are spiritual families that God has set up. God's big on family. And he has given the local church to believers to operate as a family for them. That's what the local church is. It is a family. This is a family affair. Our getting together here this morning. And God set it up that way, that a pastor is to be a father figure. Wife, a mother figure. And then we got all kinds of brothers and sisters. Are we not called brothers and sisters? Yes. See, this is to be considered a family, a local family. And so we want to honor that. And being a part, and I'm not just talking about casually. I'm not just talking about visiting. I'm not just talking about coming once in a while when the weather's good. But being a vital part of the local church and becoming a part of the family, an influential part of the family, has a big part to play in us living free of curses in these last days. Because here he says to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. So again, there's natural fathers and mothers, and brothers and sisters, but then there's spiritual. And we need to honor the family of God. And that's a part. That's a big part. That's even a bigger part than honoring your natural family. You got to take care of your natural family, but even more so, your spiritual family. You remember Jesus, his family, his mother and brothers and sisters had come, and they were wanting to get to him, and there was a great crowd of people around Jesus. And in Matthew chapter 12, verse 48, folks came and told Jesus, hey, you know, your mother and your brothers, they're wanting to talk with you. And Jesus said, who is my mother and who are my brothers? Notice that language. Who is my mother? Who are my brothers? And then he looked around and he said, those here that hear the word of God and do it. These are my mother and my brothers and my sisters. Notice, this is my family right here. Those who are doers of the word. Those who are doers of the word. That's my family. And then Jesus said over in Luke 14, in verse 26, he says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father or mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Now, that's some pretty strong language right there. Hate your father, hate your mother. Seems to contradict what we were just talking about honoring your father, honoring your mother, right? So let me read to you from the Living Bible. He says, anyone who wants to be my follower must love me far more than he does his own father, mother, wife, children, brothers, or sisters. Yes, more than his own life. Otherwise, he cannot be my disciple. So in other words, Jesus is saying our love for him must supersede any love that we have for anyone else in the natural. It must supersede a love even for our own lives. We got to love him even more. All right? So we love our father and mother, we honor them, but even more than that, it's even more important to honor and esteem God our Father and his spiritual family that he has given to us. In 1 Corinthians, actually go to Hebrews. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10 in verse 20. Let's start here in verse 24. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Consider one another. Be considerate of one another. Think about one another until you are stirred up in the love of God to do something good for him. See, that's a whole lot different than just showing up, coming to church. Bless you. Good to see you. Adios, amigo. Right? How many want to walk in victory in these last days? He says, consider one another. Take some time and think about one another. Until love stirs up in you to do something, to help, to be a blessing, to reach out to one another. To reach out to one another in however way that might be. But to take the time and consider. Love will take time and consider one another. We need to do that. Consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Don't forsake getting together. When the bell rings, get in the house. Sunday morning, come on. Wednesday, get in the house. Don't forsake assembling together, as is the manner of some. There's some folks, they habitually miss church. They just come and they go when they're kind of real consistent, being inconsistent at coming and assembling. He says, don't be like that. He says, there's some that do that. Don't do that. But exhorting one another, come and encourage one another. Stir yourself up. Consider one another and encourage one another. Have an encouraging word for somebody around you. Be a blessing. And watch what he says. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. What day is he talking about? He's talking about the last day. He's talking about the end of the end times. That's what he's talking about. How many of you know we're moving quickly towards the end? He's saying, man, you need to honor and esteem and take care of your family. You need to honor the house of God. Honor God and honor the family. This is all a part of you and I living above the curses that are coming in these last days. We need to turn from a selfish life, just doing our own thing, and we need to be a vital part of the family of God. Is that what the Bible's telling us? Yes. Be a vital part of the family of God. And that's going to be a big part of getting through the crises of life. You know, God knows what we have need of. And thank God we got a personal relationship with him that we need to be developing all the time. But there are some things God is only going to say to you from the pulpit of the church that he's placed you in. There's some things you're not going to hear in your own private time in prayer. That's how he set it up. There's some messages, some things he's only going to say through the vessels that he has placed over you in the Lord, in the church. So that's why it's important to be where you're supposed to be, get where you're supposed to get, because it's all a part of preparing us, making us ready to be everything we're called to be in these last days. Glory be to God. How many people are going to do it? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Say, I'm not going to get burned up in these last days. I'm going to be one of those that shine and walk in the healing power of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's stand on our feet. Let's thank the Lord.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.